Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Well, it's a Tuesday and you all know what that means. It's time for your favourite Bi Plus babes to take over the airwaves for an hour dedicated to Bi Plus power. It's Triple Bypass. Tonight we take a deep dive into the 2020 Melbourne Fringe, which, due to restrictions associated with COVID-19, looks a little bit different. Melbourne Fringe kicks off this week with 18 days of digital, immersive and at-home art of the impossible. This year's festival features incredible events written, performed and produced by some amazing local Bi Plus honeys. Tonight we'll be joined by Maeve Hook and Patrick Collins. Maeve has written, produced, directed and will perform in the Austenesque romance with a queer Aussie twist. Ladies Write Letters of Lemony Love. Nominee of the 2019 Melbourne International Comedy Festival's Award for Best Comedy, Patrick presents The New Nine, a show that explores the desperation for change from a person who is very upset about the recent changes in their life. The revolution is coming, apparently. And it contains jokes. And many more of the latest news, conversations, updates, and music from some incredible queer artists, as well as many bad puns as we put the B in November and the P in party, here on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Here's Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato. This is Triple Bypass, your weekly Bi Plus radio takeover. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruby.
And as always, we are here to bring you your weekly dose of Bi Plus community feels.
Yay!
Yes! Indeed, fellow isolators and folks tuning in from around the country and around this gloriously gorgeous globe, we continue to record remotely from the comfort of our own homes. But that doesn't mean you still can't get in touch. We would love to hear from you. Find us on social media, Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, or email us at any time. We really love emails at triplebypass@joy.org.au. We do, don't we? Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find all of our shows as podcasts via joy.org.au/triplebypass or wherever good podcasts can be found. And now it's time for the latest Bi Plus community news.
What's the news? What's the news?
You know what, Ruby? You know what's exciting news?
I do not. Please tell me.
That sounded so wonderful. Our amazing listeners have ensured that Triple Bypass was the third most downloaded podcast in September. How cool is that?
That's so cool. Third most downloaded podcast on Joy. Not the world, though.
Not the world, although that would be nice.
We're aiming for that next bi month. So next year in September, you know, how better way to be visible than to listen to a completely audio format?
Absolutely.
But we do want to thank each and every one of our listeners for tuning in and supporting the show that is by your community and for your community. And it has been our pleasure to bring you 4 years of Triple Bypass, and we cannot wait to bring you at least four more. And of course, you can keep us on air by going to joy.org.au and becoming a member, making a donation. But you know, we want to bring you many years.
Four more years. Is that too soon?
No, it's so soon. So soon. So soon. Speaking of American politics, Democrat and Afghanistan veteran David Oritz has succeeded in his race to become the first out bisexual lawmaker in Colorado. He took 56.6% of the vote and he unseated the Republican incumbent Richard Champion. Now, Oritz said on Instagram, "I am incredibly humbled, honored, and excited to declare victory in this race for representative of State House District 38. He is one of several LGBTQ candidates to achieve success in Colorado, where Democrats control the House and the Senate. And he's also a wheelchair user. He's a paraplegic. And it's really lovely to see that representation in the Senate as well. Members of the LGBTIQA plus community were elected across the country, with Delaware's Sarah McBride becoming the first out trans state senator in the country."
So exciting.
I know, it's so...
Yes.
She came to Australia in 2018. She's wonderful. Anyway, Sarah's overwhelming victory is a powerful testament to the growing influence of transgender leaders in our politics and gives hope to countless trans people looking for a brighter future. And that was a quote by Mayor Anise Parker, President and CEO of the LGBTQ Victory Fund.
Well, that's some nice news to come out of what has been a roller coaster of an election campaign, right?
Yeah, and just an election result. Like, this is being pre-recorded, and as of this point, it hasn't been decided yet.
I know, we're still in the not-know.
And it's been a very, just like, I think I saw a tweet that was like, no amount of fiber supplements would be able to help me with my anxiety right now.
I did have a certain release, and I felt the whole world kind of release when Wisconsin was announced today. I mean,
I love that we all know these points now. So well, actually, that's worth these many electoral college votes, and only in these states. And it's just, you know, but it is the most, I suppose. And some people are like, well, why do we care so much? But it's, you know, we tend to, Australia follows the US in a lot of places, particularly war. So it's pretty important to us to know who's going to be in charge.
I saw a really funny tweet that was like, imagine if American citizens paid as much attention to our voting system and how we do things. And I think if they did, they'd realise how wonderful our AEC is. The AEC is the Australian Electoral Commission, which is an independent body that runs our election, which is incredible.
Yeah, and we also have proportionate voting and compulsory voting and representational voting. And I think those are things that don't really fit with what the US sees for themselves. It's been interesting. It's an interesting time. And I just really hope that by the time this airs,
We know a result.
We have a result.
Yeah.
We have a particular result.
still on USA soil, Tiger King's Carol Baskin has come out as bisexual, saying that she could just as easily have a wife as she doesn't see us as being different genders. The way I feel about us, I feel we are all one. The 59-year-old also hit out at her rival big cat lover Joe Exotic, calling him a deviant, while revealing that she now lives in fear when she meets new people as she is not sure if they are friend or foe.
I thought you were going to say that Carol Baskin's going to run for president.
That would have been a great way to start the bid.
Now back to Australia. Our Pack to the Rafter star, Hugh Sheridan, says he's been with men and women but prefers not to be labelled, opening up about his difficulties navigating media scrutiny surrounding his personal life. The actor, who played Ben Rafter from the age of 22 in the popular series, said he was encouraged to keep his sexuality under wraps. He says he now feels a responsibility to speak out in an effort to help others who are still figuring themselves out.
Thank you. Lovely. Finally, in an exciting move from the Australian Red Cross Lifeblood Donation Service, they've announced that we could see an easing of the long-standing restrictions on gay and bi blood donors as early as 2021. Currently, the Lifeblood Donation Services refuses gay and bi blood donors who have had sex with men in the past 12 months. Earlier this year, Lifeblood made a submission to the TGA to reduce the wait time for donating blood for men who have sex with men from the current 12 months to 3 months since the last sexual contact, a spokesperson said. Australia enacted the 12-month deferral period for gay donors in 2000. Before then, they were banned from donating blood altogether. The new policy follows similar reductions in the UK, Canada, and the USA from 12 months to 3. However, LGBTIQA+ advocates argue that the change will make little difference to most sexually active gay men and should go further. They say international research shows blood donation services can reduce the deferral period further due to the huge strides in HIV testing.
Yeah, that is really exciting news. I think there's been like a lot more kind of awareness of these laws and just how they do feel to be quite out of touch. People can screen blood now. The risks aren't the same. Though I do like how, just because of the way that these articles were written, it's like, you know, most sexually active gay men, but what, sexually active bi men are fine. That's all good. Don't worry about it.
You'll make a big difference. Off the hook?
Donate blood.
Also, I really like that the advocates said that it will make little difference to sexually active gay men, kind of referring to the fact they're probably having sex more than once every 3 months, which, you know, in my experience is pretty accurate.
But it also just discounts anyone who's in a long-term sexual relationship with
absolutely.
And
in those sort of circumstances, those people would be keeping track of their status looking after their own health. So to say that their relationship then interferes with them being able to give blood is, I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous, but that particular situation is very baffling to me.
It's based on a lot of old fear. And
very
I think that's,
old
that,
fear.
That's always the difficulty, because like we say old fear, but really we're talking 90s fear.
Yeah.
And that sense of how like those kinds of emotional fear impressions do, it's not just a matter of being logical and being like, well, that doesn't make sense anymore. Like there is that kind of reluctance to to let go of what was seen as like a protection. I'm glad Australia is catching up in that space.
Absolutely. I mean, I still remember the first time I went to give blood, and I had no idea that that was a rule. And I sat down to do the questionnaire, and as I went through it, I read the question regarding having sex with another man, and I freaked out and feigned illness and left in a hurry, even though I was there with a whole lot of friends who were also donating blood. And I was so embarrassed.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, and that's really awful, isn't it? Because if you don't know going in.
No, and I didn't know what to do. Like, I wasn't going to lie because it's, you know, a medical form, but it really put me in a position where I wasn't ready to talk about that with anyone in the room. And I literally had to just pretend I didn't feel well to get out of there and go and breathe very slowly for a moment to try and understand what this meant for me as a queer person. Like, I was quite young and it was very confronting. And I was kind of shocked, but firstly, that I didn't realize that it was a rule, but definitely. In a bit of internal turmoil about what to do. Like, do you donate? No. But, it really screwed with my head.
Well, it did. I think, and that's the thing, and, like, that's so awful, but I think as well, like, hitting those barriers of, like, oh, you're treating me differently. And I think just, like, the fact that it's doing that in that way when people are trying to do a good thing, I just, I think we need to be doing better than that. And it looks like we're going to be. So good on you, Australia. Just keep at it, you know, just... You know, one step at a time.
Absolutely. Well, that's all the news we have time for, as in a moment we are joined by Bisexual Plus performers Maeve Hook and Patrick Collins, who will be performing as part of the 2020 Melbourne Fringe that kicks off this week. In the meantime, here is Go to War by Briggs and Thelma Plum, coming to you from Joy 94.9's flag bearers for bisexual pride, Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was Go to War by Briggs and Thelma Plum, and we are back with your weekly dose of the bisexual agenda. It's Triple Bypass. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruby.
And tonight we are talking about all things Melbourne Fringe in 2020. In the words of Melbourne Fringe, 2020 has truly been the impossible year. Making art, putting on a festival, bringing our city together, impossible. But here we are. This isn't the festival they had planned at the start of the year, and they're pretty excited to have created something entirely new for Melbourne and the greater world. Turns out anything's possible. Melbourne Fringe Festival 2020 is a celebration of the tenacity and spirit of artists, of the community's need for connection and creativity, and of Melbourne's extraordinary resilience. With 18 days of non-stop art with 250 plus events, that turns an impossible situation on its head. Melbourne Fringe Festival 2020 is what happens when you confront the impossible. Maeve Hook is a queer performer and emerging writer. She began her stage life in circus, and when the desire for words became too strong, studied acting at Queensland University of Technology. In her final year at QUT, she received the Jennifer Blockside Memorial Award, allowing her to train with Shakespeare and Company in Massachusetts. Well, it sounded like I said chain with Shakespeare. That would have been interesting. Most recent credits include the title role in Annabella Ema at last year's Melbourne Fringe and Mercutio in Fresh Theatre's Romeo and Juliet.
The queerest character.
Absolutely.
This year she presents Ladies Write Letters of Lemony Love, an Austen-esque romance with a queer Aussie twist.
We're also joined by Patrick. Patrick Collins is a comedian, magician, and mime. Who isn't nowadays, am I right? Their show Mime Consultant was nominated for the Golden Gibbo, Best Independent Show, at MICF, as well as the Best Comedy at Melbourne Fringe. This local comedian and international heartthrob is a member of Melbourne's longest-running improvised show, The Big Hoo-Ha, and they have also been the MC of Le Grand Cabaret. Patrick's celebrity crushes are Daniel Radcliffe, David Tennant, and that woman you dream about with blenders for feet.
I didn't mention it, but I've also trained with Shakespeare as well.
Oh, great. It's good to know. Yeah,
need to point that out.
Was that via Ouija board or we're talking about a company?
Oh, I named the company Ouija board, which was odd in retrospect. But yeah.
Well, this year, Patrick presents The New Nine, exploring the desperation for change from a person who is very upset about the recent changes in their life.
Well, welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much
for being here.
Also, Maeve and Patrick are both bisexual.
Yeah,
very important.
Or potentially pansexual, not sure, should check.
Kind of both.
That's the perfect answer, isn't it, really?
We can flip between those pretty easily.
I don't know, I'm very fond of bisexual because that was the term that I was first like, oh, that's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm sort of fond.
It's true. I've said this before, I was bi until my nibbling started using pansexual opening openly. Then they're 13 and I was like, you know what, that word makes more sense to me. And I was like, actually, both of them are kind of fun and cool. So
We need to be a bi-pan, the deadliest snake in Australia.
I've always found, I think, because I toyed with Pan for a bit, but then eventually just came to the conclusion that my attraction towards people was still so affected by gender that mm-hmm. bisexual just worked out better for me. Yeah. Like, but it's always like, you know, it's fun to just confuse people and throw people through a hoop occasionally.
It's so good. It's my favorite. I think saying either of those words, like I'm bi and pan, everyone's just like,
what?
Excuse me.
Well, it was really exciting. I reached out to the Fringe community, as I'm also a Fringe artist this year as well, and found out there are so many bi plus people in this festival this year, either as producers, performers, writers, and I'm so excited that we can share some of these shows with you.
I'm so happy.
So happy. Well, I'd love to hear a bit from the both of you about what your 2020 journey has looked like. Obviously, for all of us, it's been a little interesting. Maeve, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been pretty lucky because my job managed to transition to, like, working from home and stuff. So from a financial standpoint, I, like, had a bit of stability, which was a bit of a relief. Obviously, this is my day job, not a job in the arts. But
stability in the arts? Wow.
That's impossible. So,
my 2020 has been all right because I am a bit of a homebody, but also I'm originally from Queensland, and so the homesickness has been crazy.
Yeah, fair.
And also just like watching my sister go on holidays and shit.
It's weird.
It's true. Because yeah. I think for people who are listening who might not be fully aware, like Melbourne went through the world's longest lockdown, 110 days,
yep.
which mm-hmm. has just been easing up now. I know I've been a little like manic or like verging on hysterical every time I've gone outside now.
Yeah. I'm starting to believe that all other people are only in my computer. I don't think they are outside anymore. I think this is it. I think it might
it's like
be
a reverse
my apartment.
Matrix.
Yeah, my apartment might be all that's left.
Yeah.
And
I've looked at my face so many times in a Zoom call, I'm like, that's all you look like. A person with a yellow box around their face. Great.
Or that like slightly grainy, slightly frozen kind of quality.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just looking to host the party where it's like a Zoom call and I have a waiting room and a mute button. I can't wait.
So this, I suppose, question could be for either of you, and also for you, Alex, because I know that this has been, you know, you're a big performer as well. Like, has it been hard to kind of find the energy to really put yourself out there and try and find ways to be funny or find ways to kind of explore new things in the wake of what's been happening both here in Melbourne and just internationally with COVID?
Yeah, it hasn't been easy because it's been that odd thing where kind of the world at large and friends and family have all been like, no, don't worry. Comedy's going to come back in some way, shape or form. You'll be able to perform again. But then it's been, okay, cool. How and what'll that look like? Because I got quite good at the race I was running. I was like coming second. I was doing all right. People were starting to cheer for me, that kind of thing. And now just the platform has changed that we were running on. And so it's interesting watching what performers actually do really well in the new changes and who doesn't quite know how to adapt. So it's been fascinating because, yeah, the whole world of performance has now changed and now it's about who's got a better Wi-Fi connection than a lot of other things.
It's kind of like you were training on a racetrack and then someone threw you in the pool.
Yeah, I'm a fucking mime. Like, that's... I wasn't ready for this.
I must admit, the one thing I've really enjoyed doing when I do drag shows is that I only have to do things from about the chest up, which is really great for my preparation time. And also knowing that my drag face is on a Zoom call means I really can be a little bit lax with my attention to detail when I'm drawing on a brow. But, you know, we all live and learn.
Like Patrick, like, you know, you've been doing improv. Has there been like any improv happening online? Like, has the Big Hoo Ha or some of those groups, are you able to do improv games via Zoom?
Yeah, there has been a little bit. The Hoo Ha, Big Hoo Ha actually has been doing, they did a couple events throughout the year, that kind of thing. I didn't take part in them personally for whatever my own reasons, but yeah, they did move on and it has been very odd because suddenly the mere act of can I please get a suggestion from the audience is suddenly very weird and going like, okay, when for people to type, there we go, okay, and they've said doctor's office again, all right, let's do it. And then so it's still been there, but of course, yeah, everything's different now and it's hard to know when it will be back to normal, because I mean this Fringe is going to be weird Like, I can't hear if people are laughing or not. That's going to be fun. So throws a bit of mystery into the whole thing.
I think you'll be fine.
Oh, no, I'm confident I'll be fine, but I just won't have proof.
And it looks like you're touching on themes that I think are kind of, you know, very relevant, you know, very upset about recent changes in their life, in U9. And it sounds like maybe you're kind of going a bit, you're doing escapism and just going way back to before.
Well, I already had like a historical obsession, so... almost, I think, like a natural progression for me. But also, I think the letter form, which is another thing I've been obsessed with for a while, but that thing of really having a sense of distance and feeling really far away from the people that you just want to touch. Like, I'm a very physical person. I find the lack of human contact really hard. And so, yeah, I found that this sense, because the two women, one of them's in Melbourne and one of them's in rural Victoria. And obviously, like, 1901, the post was actually probably the same level of reliability as it is now.
Good call.
Yeah. They had new train lines, so the trains were working well. But, yeah, just this real sense that you're never quite close enough and things take slightly too long to get there. And I found a lot of interesting parallels, actually, as I was writing it.
Wow.
And what does Lemony Love mean?
Well, it's invisible ink. So, yeah, although, since doing some writing in invisible ink just to test it out, I've discovered it takes a while. So we decided that they only write particular things in invisible ink, but that's what it means. Because you can do it with Lemony.
As in, like, it takes a while for the ink to go invisible, or it takes a while the writing process itself?
Yeah, it just takes a while to do the writing process because lemon juice is very thin as an ink form. So even if you're using, like, a fountain pen or something, it doesn't suck up a lot of the ink and you keep having to, like, re-dip. And if you you're do like it with paint, it takes forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
I was thinking it was a reference to the old days of like fanfic.net, where lemon and lime were ways of indicating the amount of explicit sex that was going to be in the fiction. So that's yours isn't much.
Okay, that's a little bit of a different tangent.
I kind of love that.
it's so relevant though.
Wait, so what, like, was lime the tame one?
Neither of them were tame. If you were like, I think lemon was like the, you know, this was, yeah, X-rated, you know, very lemony.
How did I not know this?
I've never heard of this.
Do you read a lot of fanfic?
Well, I recently read one that turned me off reading fanfiction forever, I think. But maybe I need to do a deep dive.
Slash fiction between a lemon and a lime, yeah.
I mean, that sounds real juicy.
It's very confusing what it wants.
Mm.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that, like, after writing this title, and obviously I think you can tell from the title, I'm a little bit into words. An alliteration thing.
I love reading the title of the show. By the way, I've read it so many times today. It's so lovely to say.
Should I just make the tagline the L words? Like, with this?
Yes.
Well, I mean, relatable.
Ladies write letters of lemony love. It's got a nice rhythm to it as well.
It does. It's kind of fun.
Hey, we've got two shows.
There's a natural bounce to it.
The New Nine and Ladies Write Letters of Lemony Love. This is great. How did I do that?
That's gift.
We're already in sync with each other.
You guys are going to be great friends, I'm sure.
Well, we mentioned this off mic, which is that they are basically the same show. Like, it's hard to really differentiate between the two. Yours is a beautiful story about love told through love letters, and mine is the beginning of a revolution in which we're going to change the number nine. They are
it's
really
exactly the same.
Picking
thing.
Hairs. Yeah, it's picking hairs, really.
Well, I look forward to unpacking that a little bit further, but don't go anywhere as we'll be back with Maeve and Patrick after these community messages. Our next song is chosen by Maeve, Ivory Tower, sung by Alana Stone from Tripod vs. the Dragon. Maeve, can you tell us why you chose this tune?
Okay. So one of my lockdown things has been a deep dive into comedy bands, and Tripod is my latest obsession. And this is a Tripod vs. the Dragon is a musical that they did about playing Dungeons and Dragons, essentially.
Amazing.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that existed. Yeah.
It's incredible. It's on YouTube. You should go watch it. And,
right now. Sorry, I mean, no, I'll wait for the show.
But, yeah, Alana Stone is a jazz singer. She's actually Yale Stone's sister. But, Yeah, she's an incredible singer, and she joined them and plays the dragon and the dungeon master in this music.
Here it is, Ivory Tower, sung by Alana Stone from Tripod vs. the Dragon. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. You're here on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, your weekly hour of bisexual plus power, and that was Ivory Tower, sung by Alana Stone from Tripod vs. the Dragon, chosen by one of our fabulous guests, Maeve Hook. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruby, and we are here every week bringing you the bisexual plus radio you love through global pandemics and local blackouts. And every episode of Triple Bypass, as well as the Bipolycast and interviews with bicons, including Mara Wilson and Beck Sandridge, are all available in podcast form at joy.org.au/triple bypass, and where all good podcasts can be found.
We welcome back our wonderful guests, 2020 Melbourne Fringe artists Maeve Hook and Patrick Collins.
Hello.
Hello.
So obviously this year's Fringe looks a lot different. For those who are playing in the rest of the world, Melbourne Fringe has been running for a number of years now and puts on a huge program all across Melbourne doing live shows. This year there's 250 plus events that are happening over 18 days, most of which are digital. Some are explorations and immersive experiences you can find throughout the city. Some are even receiving a USB where someone talks at you that you play when you get home. Some are
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, you need to check out the program. It's amazing. some are one-on-one sessions. Others are traditional shows, whereas others are really interactive things. We've got Maeve and Patrick here who are presenting apparently the same show, although I'd like to unpack that you're probably not. But I'd love to know...
Alliteration is a common theme.
Yeah. That's the common theme. Yeah. I'd love to know from both of you... what has changed in your preparation for this year? How are you preparing differently when you're preparing for a show that, you know, for some of you it's pre-recorded and that is in a digital platform?
Well, yeah, it's been odd. I mean, my usual comedy process is very much because first of all, my regular shows are very physical. They're very sketch-based and, like, they've normally got mime in the title, despite the fact that I talk throughout the whole thing. But I will write sketches, I will perform them, I'll do them at spots around Melbourne and see what's working and then put it together in a show. And this time around, I haven't been able to do that. So instead, it's a brand new frontier. And I've also discovered that, like, the physical stuff doesn't work quite as well when it's behind a camera, so instead this one's a lot more information based, which has been fun, and because it's still out there and strange, but it's not quite what I was doing prior, which is, you know, it's a curveball, but it's exciting. I don't know if I would have taken a step this far into a different direction had it all not happened, so, you know, I'm excited for what could come of it.
How's the feedback been from your houseplants on your process?
I cannot keep a houseplant alive if I wasn't doing bad comedy in front of them. They are all dead, every single one. People keep saying, like, oh, no, trust me, you can't kill a cactus. It's impossible. Just leave it in front of the window. You don't even need to water it.
You definitely can.
I've absolutely killed a few in my time. What about your plants, Maeve? How are they doing?
Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not really a plant. Well, I love plants. But I like them sort of outside where I don't have to worry about them.
Yes, I understand. Yes.
Yeah, yes. I you know, my brain will go somewhere else and I will forget to water them and they will die. So
if things can't demand that you remember that they need something to live, I will not remember that they need things for me to live.
Yeah, and I'm lucky too. I've got a park out the back of my house and I don't know. My sort of nature fix is usually bushwalks, which, again, hasn't been super much an option at the moment, but... I'm sort of happy to let the plants be in nature and just go visit them.
Nature really is nature's natural pot plant.
I just think it does better. It does better
so profound
after itself than
nature
I do.
Nature is nature's pot plant.
Yeah,
write that
it's
down,
good to think
folks.
About these things.
But Maeve, have you found that, like, was this idea for the show something that was happening? Like, you know, have you had this idea in your head for a while of kind of this kind of queer Australian Austen-esque, like, love story told through letters? Or was this something that came about, as we were talking about in the previous bit, about how there were particular parallels with the experience of being in lockdown that drew it out?
Well, I think I got really into My Brilliant Career a few years ago. And
is that the title for something, or is that just a statement?
That's a book. okay, so cool. It's a book and a film by Miles Franklin.
That was gold.
No, it's I understand why you might think that, but it's a wonderful book, and is based around the same time and the same kind of period of Australian history. But also, like, I don't know, I get a bit tired sometimes of how much American in particular, but, like, just content we have that is not in our accent, is not kind of our stories. So I didn't have this idea already, but I don't know, I started writing letters to my sister and then started writing them in a period tone, and then it ended up here. So
I guess it is technically born out of the situation we found ourselves to an extent.
Mm. Yeah, sort of. Yeah. And probably just like a desire for some form of romance in my own life, I guess.
Had you written many letters before, before you started like writing letters during lockdown?
Yeah, some. My sister did an exchange to France and we wrote letters back and forth while she was doing that. And also there's this amazing book of like Mozart's letters from when he Ooh. Was little. And he was like such a little shit. It's great. and this other thing, which is this UK program called Letters Live. And there's this beautiful love letter exchange from World War II, read by Benedict Cumberbatch and Louise Brealey on there. It's on YouTube. Go look it up.
Amazing.
So I think just a few things sort of reignited a love that was already there. And then this is kind of where it ended up.
Amazing. Now, both of you are pre-recording your shows. Is that correct?
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Obviously,
the stress of like trying to do it live with internet.
Completely. That was my realization 2 weeks ago when I was like, yeah, I'm going to do my show live for kids. And I was like, why would I put myself through that? obviously, things change when you pre-record something. It takes away that live element to an extent. So what's it been like preparing for that specific thing in terms of the new Melbourne Fringe digital platform, which they're super excited to be using again?
Yeah, I think, like, I mean, it's very odd, of course, because I'm literally filming mine tomorrow morning, which is odd for a few reasons, because one, my show doesn't actually open until 2 weeks later, so I'm going to have a very casual 2 weeks leading up to the show's open.
Plenty of time but to on top of that, all the things you could have done differently.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And on top of that, I've never had an opening night in the morning. By tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to be done. I've never had that before.
I know, it's a weird feeling, isn't it? You're like, yeah. By the time I'm going to have like really relaxed show nights.
Yeah, exactly right. I've been working on this for months and it's going to be, and tomorrow afternoon, it'll be done. So it's very strange. I'm excited for it because it is also a case of, normally after one of your nights, you go like, oh, okay, well, you know, that night went great. Now I've just got to follow it up the next night. The next night doesn't quite go so well. If I can kill it tomorrow, then I'm going to kill it every night of this run. So I'm pumped for that consistency. I'm really looking forward to that.
And it's exciting as well for the artists who are involved in this Fringe. If it is a pre-record and they're using the Melbourne Fringe digital platform, there's a great chat function that is part of what is being offered in this digital world, where audience members can join half an hour before and there half an hour afterwards and can talk with the artists and other audience members throughout the entire show, trying to bring, I guess, the community together. So it is nice that you can both and all the artists can focus on actually interacting with your audience while the show is happening and before the show happens, rather than being super stressed you're about to get on stage.
We have been trying to find a more formal way to introduce heckling into a show for years now, and finally we've found
people can type it. Written letter.
yes,
you must write an entire letter and then we'll read it afterwards. That's what I mean, they never quite get there in time.
Dear folk.
Yes. So sorry, your show was not historically accurate enough.
I think you'll find that the accents were indeed quite different at the time.
Look, I actually, from a historical perspective, the accents probably would have been a lot more, realistically, the characters in this particular one would have been probably white and English and or Irish a heritage, and so the accents probably would have been more English Irish, but it was actually a bit of a thing for me that I was like, I really want this to be in our accents.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so there's one character who's the mother who has a slightly more British lean, but she's also like a slightly different generation to the rest of the characters, so it works quite well. But it's been interesting pre-recording it because obviously with like restrictions and stuff, I can't have the whole cast in the same space at any point. So the letters form lends itself well to that. But also we've had like a couple of Zoom meetings with everyone, so we have some sense of a company. But the filming has been like one person for this day and then the next person for the next day. And,
as much as it's hard and different, I guess, it is creating a new medium and is creating a new way of making art. As much as we might not want to embrace it, we can't deny the fact that it has put us in a position to make something in a very different way. And that also gives us a bit of a legacy. Like, I know for me that so much of what I've done this year as an artist has now been recorded and is still available, and there's so much of what I've done in the past that I never had a recording of, and now I do, which is kind of exciting, I guess, from the perspective of looking back on what this year was like, but also looking back on the art that I was creating.
And also, like, from a future perspective, you've sort of got automatic marketing already.
Absolutely.
Here you go. This is what I did.
There we go. The exact thing.
Yep.
I think as well, there's something that's quite just like about the tenacity of artists that you're like, it can be one person at a time. Like, you're still doing it with multiple cast members. You just have to space it out a lot more. Like, you're finding a lot of creative problem solving, which makes sense given it's a creative field.
Well, I was very lucky with like the way restrictions lifted, because we were getting to a point where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have no time to edit this thing together. but it worked out.
It feels like it has been timed very nicely with the festival, I must admit.
And Patrick, your show, you talk about like it being really about upset about recent changes. Was this inspired at all by the changes that were happening around us, or have you always just had it out for Number Nine?
Pure coincidence. Yeah, I wrote the show 10 years ago, and what do you know? Here it is. No, it's very much. No, this was, it really all came about because I had written my new show for Comedy Festival this year, and I did my test show for it the day before Comedy Festival was cancelled, which was a lot. And then so it then came this decision when Melbourne Fringe was coming around, we're going, okay, do I do the show that I was going to do for Comedy Festival, or do I write this new show? And we were kind of realizing that because the world was looking so different, that it might be a good opportunity to try and make something different. And luckily, while I was high at the beginning of the year, I had said, hey, isn't it weird that 6 and 9 are the same number, are upside down, and no one's complaining about it? So from there, I wrote what I thought the new 9 should be, and then decided, I was like, okay, well, I clearly need to get this out to the people. So now...
It's an important message.
So now truly the Fringe Festival has come at a very convenient time for my revolution, because now I can actually talk about it at the same time.
You've chosen our next song. Can you tell us what's in store for us?
Oh, I love this song. So this is by a band called Flap. It's Flap with an exclamation mark, a Melbourne band.
I love Flap.
And if you love them, then I'm so sorry, because they've released 2 albums and they've since split up. So I never even got a chance to see them live, but this song...
I did. They're so good.
I hate you.
Sorry.
Sneak that in there.
But yeah, this song's called Come Down to My Funeral, and I love it. It's from one of my favorite albums, which is Great Day for the Race by Flap. I love it.
Thank you. Well, here it is, Come Down to My Funeral by Flap. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and we will be back with you in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. That was Come Down to My Funeral by Flap. I hope I put enough of an exclamation mark. Flap. And you were back on Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+, along with a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and questioning, and how about an E for absolutely everybody? Because we are not gatekeeping queers.
Not us.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Ruby.
And we are back with 2020 Melbourne Fringe artists Maeve Hook and Patrick Collins. Hello.
Yay.
This has been fun. We could chat all night, I think.
Yes. Do you have the time slot?
Well, listen, I'll talk to Joy and let's see what we can do.
So, Patrick, you talk about how your show is really about trying to kickstart a revolution because 9 and 6 are too similar and 9 has to change. Now, I need to know this before we move on to anything else. Why does 9 need to change?
Yeah, I'd like to know that too.
Well, because it's the same as 6 upside down.
But what about six? Why shouldn't six change?
Oh, for goodness. Well, because six is first. Six is first. It, not only does it come before nine, but it was also the glyph we currently use for it was invented before the modern day version of nine. No one's upset at Oasis because Beatles did it first. Like, no, the other way around. No one's upset at Beatles for that. The second person to call shotgun doesn't get the front seat. It's not how it works.
But
okay?
Nine is my favourite number, so I'm offended on behalf of nine lovers.
Then congratulations. You get to keep the number nine. It's just going to have a different symbol. It's very... It's,
so we're you're not saying nine to nine if you were German?
I understand, yes, the German word for no is nine. Very good.
Thank you. It's a pun.
Funnily enough, this is a side tangent to do with both nine and German, but 99 Luftballons is not actually German for 99 red balloons. It's just German for 99 balloons, which does make it sound like a different song. But... Yeah.
I mean,
anyway,
I would really
what was the question?
Different about that. If there were like multicolored balloons, that would probably feel like a more auspicious occasion, potentially. I'm not sure.
Well, so it is an anti-war evolution. Protest song. Yeah,
that's true.
Mm. So, what does Luft mean?
I think it's the equivalent of Ball. It's the first half of balloons.
Oh. It was red. Like Luft balloons. So it's like Ball balloons. I love it. I love it. I love that you've obviously put a lot of thought into six and nine. I didn't know it came from a symbol.
More than anyone else.
And I'm sure you've also got answers for things like, well, then how the hell are people supposed to know what 69ing means anymore? So you're taking away all the iconography imagery.
There is literally a 10-minute routine in the show of what we're doing about that. Trust me, I've got it covered.
Okay, so you're providing solutions here. This isn't just like an ideas revolution where you have to go fix it yourself.
I must be very clear. This is not me attempting to begin a revolution. This is the start to the revolution. It just happens to be coinciding with ticket sales and fringe.
Changing nine.
Oh, no. I in no way intend to be a prophet. This is not about bringing myself up. This is about giving the people what they need, and what they need is a more accurate nine. Yes. Well, that can't be confused with six. It gets confused all the time. If you were to hand someone a bit of paper with the number six or the number nine on it sideways, chaos.
It's like
no
if you're
in
a deli and you
that.
Take the number and they call out nine, it could be two different people. If it's 69, it's a party.
Yeah.
In the deli. Love that.
Covered in deli meats and cheeses. Oh.
Now, Alex, you're also... Oh, sorry, Mav, no. I brought... were you also in the deli? Mav, were you in the 69 deli?
Did you just call me Mav?
I did. It's Maeve. I'm sorry. My brain missed the E.
I was going, who's Mav in the deli?
I know, who's Mav in the deli?
At the moment, I was like, is that me?
It was Mav with a spanner Maeve. In the deli. That's how it was done, yeah.
Apologies, Maeve.
No, it's all good.
It's difficult when you can only just see the things. I don't get to meet you in person and do things like shake. Anyway, Alex...
Hello.
You, since you're hosting, I know you want to be polite, but so I'll ask you, what are you doing with Melbourne Fringe?
Well, I am presenting two different events. I'm very excited to bring my show Kidioki back to Melbourne Fringe. It won the Children as Collaborative Creators Award last year, and I was in development for a brand new show to be launched at the end of this year, but sadly, COVID got in the way of that. So we're doing a digital version. It'll be me in my bedroom singing songs in drag that hopefully will make kids have a great time singing along. That's the idea. That was a really poor explanation of my show.
Love the name, though.
Yeah. It's pre-recorded karaoke for kids.
Yeah, Kidioki at Home, it is called. I'm also really excited that I'm hosting one of the club nights at home on the 28th of November. It's called Bay Marie's Knockdown Karaoke. Actually, Ali Code will probably correct me. It's actually Karaoke Knockdown. I get very confused. Again, alliteration is very difficult. That's the one thing the three of us have in common tonight. I'm hosting with Tash York. It's going to be a sing-along extravaganza. We've got guests like Geraldine Quinn coming along, Max Lawrence, Aisha Buffet. It's going to be a sing-along extravaganza with a dance party at the end with DJ Gay Dad, and I can't wait.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Mm. There's my plug. How was it? Thanks.
Oh, no, we can't hear you. They've dropped the mic. No.
It's the Alex Morris Show. Welcome.
So for both of you, for Maeve and Patrick, what are you most excited about, either about the show being aired or what you've created or the process? Like what's been, has been genuinely exciting, serotonin, dopamine racing kind of about these shows you're doing?
I think we're excited to be doing something with other people again because I think there's only so much D&D you can play online.
That's true.
Which is what I've learned. And so I think I'm just excited to be a part of something. So, because even the launch party was great. I saw no one. But it was a fun time just knowing other people were there. And I think...
You just have that sense that, yeah, there's other people online at the same time. And the fact that it is live, like, does make a difference psychologically, even though it, like, would be exactly the same if you watched it later.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And what scares you?
Oh, God, it's about time. Yeah, jeez. Yeah, pauses in radio interviews.
We've
That's
only
really
got a couple
my deepest
minutes,
fear.
So please keep it short, kids.
I must say, short I actually fears. Really loved, I've just jumped back to that, I've really loved writing because it's sort of a new thing for me. So that's been very exciting, and also working with people. The terrifying thing for this has been that I'm just trying to do everything and it's way too much.
Mm-hmm. So I feel that
producing for the first time and absolutely directing with the support of another artist, Anya Holmberg, who's amazing. Trying to work out how to market, which is terrifying. and then, yeah, also like editing, performing. It's just like a little too much, but it's good.
I agree. I've been in that role of like performer, director and producer all at once a couple of times. And you're like, yeah, I can do this. It'll be fine. And then you're like, why did I do this? And I'm never doing it again. And then you'll do it again.
Yeah. It's sort of like fluctuating, like panic and excitement.
And do you find that, have you done a lot of shows with queer content in them before?
A couple, I think.
Looking back.
Has it been interesting to explore that? I know that like people talk about how ISO can be a time where you do start to kind of do a lot of inward introspection. Did you find that that made it easier to write love letters, or was it kind of just something that just felt really natural?
Yeah, actually love letters felt really natural for me. I think like just before we went into the second lockdown, I was going on a couple of dates with a girl and it was really exciting and it was sort of a new thing, and then lockdown just killed everything. But I think finding my voice as a queer artist has been really lovely, because I've done quite a bit of Shakespeare and sort of more classical stuff, which, you know, like you can make Mercutio very queer. But it's been really nice to sort of go, you know, as a queer person who's, I guess, more of a quiet queer in a funny way. Like I find clubbing quite stressful and various things that seem to be married with queer culture, at least in media portrayals. Some of those things I find aren't so much a natural fit for me, but finding a queer voice and something that really feels very right and exciting and like something that I want to see, you know, like a historical queer thing where people don't get depressed or shipped across the world or die.
Yes, queer things without tragedy is so great.
Particularly like historical ones, because they're all like, I mean, I loved Portrait of a Lady on Fire, don't get me wrong, it's amazing. But it's just, you get a little bit tired of everybody being depressed all the time.
Well, Maeve, we're almost at the end of the show. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to sell your show. I'm kidding. You can have a little bit longer than that. give our listeners a quick rundown of what they are to expect when they come along to your wonderful show.
Okay, so if you like words, if you're into queer romance or romance, and if you're interested in feminism or the vote, or various interesting things that were happening in 1901 Australia, this is the show for you.
What about you, Patrick? Go.
Look, the ticket price is simply for the sake of admin fees. This we are going to be changing the world, and you cannot fall behind. It is essential that you know what we are going to do moving forward. Don't be on the wrong side of history. For God's sakes, get on board with the revolution.
Amazing. Well, you can find Patrick on their socials. Facebook, local comedian Patrick Collins. Instagram, local comedian Patrick Collins. Or on Twitter, local Collins. You can catch Patrick in the New Nine at 7 p.m. between 19 and 28 November.
Woo!
And you can find Maeve on Facebook at Ladies Write Letters. Instagram, Maeve Hook at capt.hook with 2 zeros. And Ladies Write Letters. You can also catch Maeve in Ladies Write Letters of Lemony Love between the 17th and 29th of November. So Instagram is at capt.h00k.
Wonderful. If you type in Maeve Hook, it usually comes up. And the tickets are also pay what you wish, so you can choose your price scale.
Amazing. Nice. Well, for more information on the shows and also how to purchase tickets, there are shows that are a set ticket price, but many of the tickets are actually, as Maeve said, a choose your own price or choose to pay afterwards. There's a heap of information on the Melbourne Fringe website, which is melbournefringe.com.au. And remember, if you're listening from around the world, this is a chance for you to enjoy Melbourne Fringe for the very first time, which is very exciting. And there are an incredibly large amount of bi plus people in this year's festival. So get online and check it out. That's a wrap on another episode of Triple Bypass. We'll be back again next Tuesday to bring you more Bi Plus goodness. We thank you for joining us from wherever you are listening. And remember, you can find every episode of Triple Bypass as a podcast, wherever you choose to consume your podcast. A big thank you to our team behind the scenes that ensure every episode of Triple Bypass comes together and is then available for consumption as a delicious podcast. To Pete and Lou, we love you.
We do. And if you know a friend who might enjoy the show, let them know, because that's what friends are for and that's what our community is all about. And you can find us waving the bisexual flag and the pansexual flag and the polysexual flag and all the flags on social media, on Facebook at Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and you can email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au.
Well, one final thank you to our wonderful guests, Maeve Hook and Patrick Collins. All the best with your shows. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm Alex.
I'm Ruby.
And this has been another episode of Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We'll be back next week to deliver you more juicy lemon and lime bisexual plus content in this, your very own bisexual plus playground on the airwaves. Until next time, don't stop believing.
Good night.